Today we're talking with return guests Dan and Dave about scholarships, Pell Grants, and the upcoming FAFSA changes, so make sure you tune in for today's great episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. This issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast, Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. I'm here to do the research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance. The goal is to simply get us talking about money, so let's get talking. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we dive into some upcoming changes with the FAFSA. There's some good things and some not so good things. We're talking with Dan Sinowitz and Dave the Scholarship Coach, both return guests whose names you might recognize. So make sure to check out the show notes for their previous episodes. But thank you to both of them for coming on today's episode. From the shorter application process to different income considerations, we're going to explore how these changes impact families and impact you when it comes to the FAFSA. We'll be talking about the new Student Aid Index and how everyone should be aiming for the new expanded Pell Grant. Dave and Dan share insights on scholarships, the impact of the FAFSA, and how planning can impact paying for college. Stick around to hear what Dave and Dan are currently working on and how you can reach out to them when it comes to helping pay for college. Whether you're navigating financial aid or paying for college, we've got you covered. The money talking points for today's episode are: how are scholarship applications going for you? And two, will you be applying for the FAFSA? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Hello and welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have return guests, Dan and Dave, the scholarship coach. Both of these wonderful guests have been on previous episodes where we're talking about college. And with changes upcoming with the FAFSA and the FAFSA application, I wanted to have them both back on to talk about how that's impacting what they do, what you can expect from some of the FAFSA changes. So I'm really excited to talk about this episode and learn more. Dan, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself for anyone who didn't hear your last episode?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me back, Skylar. Dan Sinowitz, the college dude here. So I'm a CFP professional, and my job is helping families, specifically parents of high schoolers who are interested in college, to help them better understand the financial aid process, getting through college, and ideally graduating with as minimal debt as possible to keep them on track for other goals.
Awesome. Thank you for that reminder. Dave, what do you do to help everyone?
Yeah. So I am a scholarship coach. I get into this business helping my own son, who is currently college junior. He's up to over $93,000 in scholarships won. We've not paid anything for college, not tuition, room, board, books, fees, not even airline tickets for him to fly home at Christmas. So So I work with students and their families, helping them find and win scholarships so that they can keep the money that Danny helps them save.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like you're using your son as a pretty good case study for yourself. So make sure you get a testimonial from him or something.
I need to sit down and have an interview with him. And that would be a fun show. I try to respect his privacy a little bit, but sometimes he's got to help the old man out. So
yeah, I mean, if you're helping him out with all that money, I think he owes you a little bit there. So
yeah, yep.
Awesome. Well, Dave, I'll have you start off on this first one. We're just going to dive right into the FAFSA. Can you maybe just give us a high-level overview of what changes are coming to the FAFSA? I know it's getting simpler, right? Is that what they say?
Well, actually, if you don't mind, I'm going to defer to Dan on this, because sure. Dan is definitely more the FAFSA expert than myself.
Awesome. Dan, what should we know?
Yeah. So the start, I think this is one of the most groundbreaking changes for the FAFSA that we've seen in a long, long time. So again, just as a background, FAFSA stands for Free Application for Federal Student Aid. So typically it's recommended that most parents who are applying for some level of aid, whether that be through the federal government or through the college, complete the FAFSA. But in terms of some of the specific changes that have taken place, There are some good, and there are some that I think can be perceived as not so good. I'll start with some of the good ones. One of the big ones is that the actual FAFSA is getting shorter. It's going from previously what was 108 questions now to either 36 or 46 questions, depending on how you answer some of those questions. So it's shortening the actual time in which parents have to take. And then there are some positive changes, again, of how they're actually assessing income. So previously, what would be on the FAFSA is if I'll just use a hypothetical example. If you were making $100,000, but you were contributing $10,000 to a 401k, you'd have to add in those 401k contributions back when being assessed for financial aid. However, one of the changes that's taking place is 401k contributions or pre-tax contributions to a retirement plan. That lowers your modified adjusted gross income. That doesn't need to be included on FAFSA. You could be eligible for more aid. So there are some things that I think are a positive change. A couple quick negative ones, though. One of the big ones is that if you have multiple students in college at the same time, previously there was what we would call a discount, or the amount that they are expected to pay would be lessened. That's been taken away. If you have multiple students in college at the same time, it's going to now kind of be the same across the board, which again is not a positive. And then one of the other big changes, I think, for both for farmers, farm owners, and for business owners, previously they were not assessed the value of the business, the value of the farm. That's now changing, where it's going to be assessed at least to some level. So the value of an asset of a business or a farm can definitely be changed moving forward.
Yeah, and farms can be worth a ton of money if that's the one specific case that someone's in.
For sure.
What's the student aid index? That's a number I've seen thrown around. I know it's a change from the expected family contribution. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's another, there's probably one of the things I didn't answer was there's some terminology changes that I think are taking place. None bigger than the student aid index. It was previously known as the expected family contribution. It's now going to be known as the student aid index. For the way it's going to be calculated, like I mentioned with some of the examples I just gave, that's going to be different. But for all intents and purposes, the student aid index and the expected family contribution are going to be very similar in terms of the actual what they provide. So the student aid index is more or less going to be that starting point. It's where a lot of the both the federal government and the colleges are going to look at as a starting point to award either federal financial aid or aid through the school. So that student aid index is kind of like your quote unquote your number. And then that number is going to then dictate how much need-based aid most families are going to be eligible for.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like just start getting used to that student aid index number is what I'm learning so far. Look it up too if you need to know the very specifics. But is it staying remotely similar to how it's calculated, just with those few changes on the numbers in the back end?
Yeah, again, there's just like we mentioned, there's some nuance in terms of how they're calculating it. But for what the number actually means, I think that the general purpose of it is still going to be staying the same. But again, how it's going to be calculated, there's going to be some changes that we'll see this year and moving forward.
Awesome. That makes sense. Thank you for explaining that, because I know that's something that could trip someone up, because the FAFSA is already hard enough. And like you said, hopefully it's getting shorter, but then they're changing words on you and everything. So hopefully
sure.
It helps.
The number of acronyms in this industry is crazy. So yeah.
Yeah. Don't get the government started on how they name laws and things like that. It's gotta have some cool name.
Exactly.
Dave, let's talk about the Pell Grant a little bit. I've heard that it's being expanded. Maybe could I get your take on, should everyone apply for the Pell Grant? Is it something that's worth their time in like your realm of dealing with scholarships?
Yeah, I mean, if you qualify, if you follow the general guidelines of who qualifies, I think it's absolutely worth applying. My general rule of thumb is if you meet the eligibility requirements for any scholarship, any aid, apply, see if you are awarded it, and then go from there, because you can't get the money if you don't apply. So, yeah, definitely, if you meet the general guidelines, definitely take the time to apply for it. And, you know, that's a great way to reduce your overall cost of college.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Why not is what I'm getting from that. Like, make sure you're throwing your application at things that you're eligible for. Dan, do you have any insight on how the Pell Grant's been expanded? I've seen a couple things of who's now eligible, maybe some eligibility changes and more people getting access. Do you have any info on that?
Yeah, the Pell Grant typically is awarded based on financial needs. So, you know, depending on the amount of income and the family size that you may have, they've expanded now how much they're actually giving based on family size and some of the the income figures or the income requirements. But just like I think Dave mentioned, just to further reiterate it, I think, you know, there is the school's going to be the one that awards it, but you want to make sure if you're in that position, which, you know, a lot of the award that's given out is going to be to what are considered lower income families. It's worth applying for, it's worth completing the FAFSA to apply for it to see if you would be eligible. But the Department of Education has some great calculators to give you an idea of if it's out there or if you'll be eligible for it. But for sure, I think the Pell Grant's something you don't have to pay that money back, which I know, you know, it's very similar to scholarships, same type of concept. If you don't have to pay it back, it's usually good to move forward with that.
Yeah, I like money I don't have to pay back. So maybe they need to start just giving out Pell Grants more. Just kidding.
For sure.
I just want more Pell Grants.
One other thing about the Pell Grants, there are some private scholarships that will actually use whether you qualify for the Pell Grant as guidance as to whether you are eligible for that private outside scholarship. And that's not the case for a lot, but especially like the one that's open right now, it's not necessarily guidance, but it's the Amazon Future Engineer Scholarship. It's for obviously future engineers, but there's an income and need component to it. And they do ask about whether you qualify for the Pell Grant. That doesn't necessarily disqualify you if you don't, but it certainly would help your case with that application. So, yeah, that's just another reason to consider applying for the Pell Grant.
Yeah, that's a fantastic one because there might be a scholarship. Maybe, yeah, I would say go for it. Like you said, if you're eligible, go for it. Let's talk about the FAFSA itself because previously some people might not qualify for the Pell Grant, so they don't even bother filling it out, or they just don't want to because it looks intimidating because you have to do something with the IRS. And that just sounds kind of scary when you mention those three letters. But Dave, is it ever worth not filling out the FAFSA? I know you've mentioned sometimes other scholarships look at it and things like that. Is it ever worth just ignoring the FAFSA altogether?
Yeah, I don't see too many private outside scholarships that look at the FAFSA. That doesn't mean there aren't some that do. So definitely take that into consideration. It just so happens that my son attends one of the few colleges in the country where they do not use the FAFSA for considering financial aid of any sort, whether it's merit or need-based or you know, their private scholarships. So for us, we haven't filled it out since his senior year of high school. We filled it out then because every other school he was applying for looked at it, so mm-hmm. It was important. But yeah, it's been nice to not have to worry about that. The school he attends has a very short application every year, which I need to get on myself. So it's about that time of year. But I think that's probably the only case I'd say don't bother with the FAFSA is if you are attending or positive that you're going to attend a college that just doesn't use it.
That makes sense. Like if they just won't use it and you know you don't need it for something else, then there you go. Yeah. But Dan, for the colleges maybe that use it for other sorts of aid, Is that definitely a reason to fill it out?
Yeah, generally speaking, if you're looking for financial aid, yes. I mean, there are rare exceptions that, you know, I think people are able to just fully fund the cost of college or be able to pay for it all out of pocket. They're not looking for any type of aid. If that's the case, you really don't necessarily need to complete the FAFSA. But if you're looking for any sort of student loans that are done issued through the government, filling out the FAFSA is a requirement. So would that be student loans in the child's name only or parent plus loans? The FAFSA does need to be completed if that's the case. And then many schools are actually going to award some institutional aid on behalf of having the FAFSA completed. So I would say for the majority of cases, yes. But again, there certainly are some exceptions where, like in Dave's case, it doesn't need to be completed. But generally speaking, yes, it's typically recommended that the FAFSA is completed.
Yeah, and I even think from what Dave was saying is that first senior year application should probably be completed no matter what, because you might end up at a school that does use it and then you don't want to put yourself behind by missing some sort of deadline. So I think you got to look at it, especially as a senior in high school, and get that ball rolling. So definitely consider it. Don't outright ignore it is what I'm learning.
Yeah. And the number of colleges that don't use it is exceptionally small. Mm-hmm.
Good to know. Yeah. So you're very likely going to be applying for a school that does use it. So keep it in mind. Don't ignore it. Dan, let's start with you on this question. The changes to the FAFSA, has it impacted what you're telling people to do? Are you telling them to do something? I know you mentioned 401k changes to that contribution? Are you instructing people a little bit differently on how to structure their money before they apply for the FAFSA and things like that?
Yeah, I think we want to take the approach of not necessarily making a move strictly for college, but if it can have a dual benefit, in which 401k contributions can for some families, what we want to look at is say, well, if you have the cash flow to be able to afford it, it's now having a dual benefit of A, you now have a tax save, well, really a triple benefit. You have a tax savings in the current year, you're saving for your future retirement, but it also can be helping you to actually lower the student aid index number, which can qualify for more aid. So again, I don't want to give blanket advice for that. That's kind of one of those things that I do think you need to look at a specific situation. But this is a positive change that was not previously available. So that's something that we can certainly say it should be considered. But something else that we also want to really hammer home, I think, with families is school choice is so important. And previously on the FAFSA, again, if you had multiple students in school at the same time, that would automatically lower that SAI number. It's no longer the case with the fact that they're taking away that multiple student discount. So we want to focus on making sure that parents and students are focused on the right school choice, because that more than anything, I think, is where the wrong school choice has led to unsustainable loans and can really ruin a financial plan.
Yeah, so it's coming back around to make sure you're making the right choice ahead of time, because the FAFSA is not some superhero that's going to come in and save the day
exactly.
from a crazy expensive college.
For sure.
Dave, how is this changing what you're instructing people to do? I imagine you're still telling people to go get scholarships, of course, but any changes this is causing in your world?
Yeah, it's not really changing anything that I'm advising people, but it's exacerbating some of the problems that I see that parents and students might have. Normally by this time of year, students have probably filled out and sent in the FAFSA. And this year it's so late with these changes. It's exacerbating the problem of people waiting to see what scholarships they might need instead of just applying for everything they can and building up that bank, because the scholarship cycle is on the same cycle it's always been. All of the scholarships that are offered annually, they didn't change because of the FAFSA. And so if you're waiting to get the results of the FAFSA, Danny, I don't even know when that will come out. I know you can start applying sometime in December, but if you're waiting till January, February, whenever you're going to get that result to start applying for scholarships as a high school senior, I'm not going to say it's too late, but you have missed a ton of opportunity. Mm-hmm. This is prime scholarship season. So it's definitely unfortunate that, you know, this change in the FAFSA pushed things out and kind of exacerbated that bad habit that people have of waiting to the last minute to even think about outside scholarships as an option.
Well, that's a very interesting insight, because, yeah, the FAFSA is such this big block in people's mind of make sure you're applying for it year in, year out. But scholarships are happening all the time. And yeah, that's really good for people to hear. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, what if the FAFSA isn't going to pay everything I need, or there's still going to be a large need after that, like, get on that scholarship train ahead of time, because like Dave said, you might have missed it already for quite a few of them. That's really good to know.
Yeah. I mean, the worst case scenario is you get a big bank of scholarships that maybe you don't need. I mean, that would be a good problem to have. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. So get applying to scholarships too. Don't just rely on the FAFSA. Awesome.
Definitely.
Dave, is there ways that scholarships, or I guess, how can scholarships help pay for college if the FAFSA can't? I think what you started getting at is make sure you're at least applying for them, but how do those scholarships actually help? How do you use that bank, so to speak?
Yeah, so scholarships pay out in a number of different ways. The most traditional way is that they will send a check or wire transfer directly to the college, and then it's up to the college how they distribute those funds. Sometimes those scholarships will be earmarked for things only like tuition, or they might be a little more broad where they could be used for housing or meal plans. So that's most scholarships pay that way. But believe it or not, there are some scholarships that send checks directly to their winners. So that's a great way to not only help cover those traditional expenses, but, you know, for my son, that's meant that he's been able to, you know, go out to dinner, pay his gas money, just, you know, live a little bit nicer mm-hmm. lifestyle on campus than he otherwise would have been able to. So you don't always know that when you're applying, which is another reason that I say apply to as many scholarships as you can. Obviously, there is a limit to the number you can do just physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. So learning which ones give you the best odds of winning can definitely be helpful. But yeah, I mean, if there's a college related expense, you can probably find a scholarship that'll help cover it.
Great to know. If there's, yeah, I love that your son's being able to pay for things like his lifestyle with some scholarships. If that doesn't say apply for scholarships, I don't know what does, because that's where a lot of the expense comes from. You're maybe hanging out with friends, and maybe you shouldn't be doing all the crazy stuff just because you have a scholarship, but it might afford you a little bit nicer of a lifestyle, like you said. That's really, really important to consider.
Well, and it helps us as well, as mom yeah. and dad. We have not had to send him any money. We might send him money because we love him, but we haven't had to do it.
There you go. That's a win in my book. So whether yeah. you're the student listening or the parent listening, it sounds like there's a benefit to a college student having a scholarship. So
absolutely.
Dan, how can parents start saving for college expenses now before the FAFSA is even in the picture? How can they start saving?
Sure. And I swear this isn't a shameless plug for Dave, but I do believe scholarships are really the best way to pay for college, because, again, you don't have to pay that money back. And the good thing about some of these private scholarships is you don't necessarily need to be in 11th or 12th grade to apply for them. You know, you can certainly apply for them at a younger age. You just need to know kind of where to look and what to look for. But for many parents, scholarships, I mean, again, Dave's situation, I do think is somewhat unique. It's rare that you'll have, you know, the entire boat covered, but certainly it can and should be a part of the strategy. But for other families who are looking to save, I do think the traditional one that has been talked about, and for good reasons, is the 529 plan. The reason that I think it's such a great tool is there are great tax benefits that are associated with it. Depending on your state of residence, you could have some state tax benefits. So definitely look into that depending on the state that you're in. But there's the federal tax benefits, which are also that it grows tax deferred. And if you use it for qualified education expenses, you can take it out tax free. So anytime I hear tax free or tax favored, I usually like to recommend that, because I personally yeah. can't stand paying taxes. I don't know many people that do. But I do think the IRS is incentivizing people to further their education. So they're going to give some benefit to the idea of you know, furthering your education in the right way. So but yeah, I do think it's, if you're able to save and kind of put some money away into a 529 plan, that's great. But just saving in general, I think is very important to make sure that, again, families understand that the school choice that they go to, it will have an impact either for their child, if they're going to pay for it, or for their parents in their retirement. So making sure you're educated on how much aid you can be expected to receive, understand what you're getting into before you actually go into it, to me is the primary, the best way that you can handle the college search.
Great. Start saving. I love that. Use tax advantaged plans. That's fantastic. I don't know who doesn't like the words advantaged and tax in the same sentence. So I had another question just come to mind real quick. Either of you can take on this one. Is there any way to maybe get kids involved beforehand? Like, I'm thinking you start talking about school choice or saving beforehand, or the scholarships beforehand. Is there something you can do to, maybe they're younger than high school, but you want to get college on their mind? Is there something that parents can do to get that ball rolling a little bit?
Yeah, I'll start. I think there's probably three things come to mind. The first would be, talk to your student about the academic aspect. You know, what do they enjoy? What are their ideas for their future plans? Are they thinking about college? And then just have them take the most rigorous courses that they're able to, while still keeping their grades up. That's going to help get into the college that they want. It's also going to help them win scholarships. And then specifically about scholarships, like Danny alluded to, there are scholarships out there for starting as young as third grade, I've actually found. Now, of course, that's very few and far between. But the younger you get a student involved in applying for scholarships, just making it a part of your family routine, the better prepared they're going to be when they hit senior year. And in fact, I should say the better they're going to be prepared when they hit junior year, because right now there is a full ride scholarship that is not open to seniors. It's only open to juniors. So Yeah, it's never too early to start thinking about scholarships to help pay for college. And one of the things that I tell people that I'm talking to with my consultations is that it's not just about the money. Students that take the time and effort to apply for scholarships take college much more seriously. So if you want your student to do well in college, they can get some skin in the game by going through, you know, kind of the blood, sweat, and tears that's involved with applying for scholarships. And, you know, when they start to get some of those wins, it definitely motivates them as well. So yeah, don't wait till even high school. If you're listening to this, when you've got younger kids, there are scholarships out there that they can be working on.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like if you were just waiting just because they're not a senior yet, you missed on an opportunity to get a full ride just because start a little younger and there you go. Dan, what can parents do to get kids involved with saving a little early? Can they start a piggy bank for them or something like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, any way to help save for that, I think is, you know, a great way. But I do think that communication with the child is so important, you know, not even necessarily finance related. I think it's also just making sure the child understands what is the actual purpose of college. And I think parents also need to understand that, because if you're going to college and you're not going to be, you know, making better of yourself, then it's really, I don't think it's a venture that you should be looking into. So making sure that college is the right decision, number one, is important. And that requires communication between the child and the parent. But again, I do think it's very important that parents understand that, and students understand, whatever I'm taking out on a loan is going to have to be repaid. So it's a good idea to use a calculator beforehand and say, if I'm going to loan $10,000 in year one, it's going to grow over the next 4 years. What does that look like over a monthly payment? And if I do that every year over the next 4 years, what does that look like? So again, that's why I think it's really important to do your best to avoid and you know, limit loans or eliminate them altogether if possible. But just understand what you're getting yourself into. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of parents and a lot of students don't. And that's where we see, you know, the horror stories that unfortunately we do come across.
Yeah. That's totally the truth right there. Make sure you're communicating about it beforehand, because maybe a trade school is the better path. There's other options out there. And if college is the only thing that you're blindly pushing and not talking about, that's where you lead to those horror stories like you're mentioning.
Agreed.
Awesome. This has been a fantastic conversation, both about the FAFSA and some of those changes coming, as well as a little bit of an insight to what you both do and what you both help with. Dave, let's start with you. What's something you're working on right now? What's something that people can get on board with you a little bit more?
Yeah. So actually just yesterday I launched a free online course where I talk about the class of 2024, why they need to be applying for scholarships ASAP. They should have started yesterday. It's on Teachable as the platform. If they go to nodebtcollege.teachable.com, they'll see that it's the only free course listed on my page there. And it's about 45 minutes, walks them through everything from what are the three different categories of scholarships, my five-step process for winning scholarships, and some free resources that they can access as well.
Well, the only word I love more than tax advantaged is free. So thanks for that. Dan, what are you working on that people can get in touch with?
Yeah, appreciate you asking. So the two things, I actually also launched a course related to the financial aid process, but also just paying for college in general, better understanding how student loans work. You know, that's kind of the I think to me, really helpful for people that are more focused on just self-study that want to kind of do it themselves. The other thing that I do is I usually will publish at least one video a week on my YouTube channel. You can just check out at The College Dude, and that's you know, something that I like to put out in terms of free content for folks that they can better understand, whether it be the college financial aid process or the loan process. Either way, I do think knowledge is power, and making sure that we avoid massive student loan debt, I think is something that, you know, all of us can undertake, and will only benefit ourselves, but also our country as a whole.
Fantastic. Awesome. I love that you both are doing stuff that people can kind of learn a little bit more about your world. And then of course they can always contact you, I'm sure. I do want to plug the episodes that I had you guys on in the past. Episode 80, How to Pay for College with Scholarships, had Dave the Scholarship Coach on it. And then episode 94 of How Should I Start Thinking About College had the College Dude, Dan, on that one. So make sure you go back and listen to those episodes if you want to learn a little bit more about their world and what they do. But Dan, how can people contact you?
Yeah, you can reach out to reach out via email. It's Dan, D-A-N, at HyperionFP.com. Or they can check out the either one of my websites. There's HyperionFP.com, and there's also thecollegedude.com. So have my contact information there.
Fantastic. Dave, how can people get in touch with you?
Email is definitely the best way. Dave@nodebtcollege.com. They can ask me questions related to scholarships and even schedule a free consultation if they'd like.
Awesome. Thank you both so much for coming on this episode again. This has been super fun. Super fun to talk about a different topic slightly, but also get to hear about what's still going on in your world. So thank you both very much.
Thanks, Skylar.
Thanks, Skylar.
What are some of the impacts that you might feel after today's episode? Well, if you're someone who's filling out the FAFSA form, then you're likely going to benefit from the shorter FAFSA. Maybe some of the changes to the 401k contributions counting as income. And also be aware of the student aid index and adjust your understanding, since expected family contributions isn't a term being used any longer. So adjust your vocabulary a little bit. Also, make sure you try and get the Pell Grant and scholarships. Don't forget about scholarships. Both are a great way to pay for college, and they both don't need to be repaid. And who doesn't love that? We all want money that we don't have to repay. That would be great. I know when I was in college, the best money I was able to get a hold of was the Pell Grant. So make sure you're applying for that, and I always recommend it for everyone. It's worth a shot. Make sure you start early so that you can grab any scholarships that you're eligible for. Like Dave shared in the episode, the earliest one he's seen is third grade. So make sure you're getting started earlier, get that system going, get those processes in place, and make it easier for you down the road. Also remember, there may be dual advantaged opportunities with your 401k or 529 plans when it comes to tax benefits. So keep that in mind, because you may not want to do something explicitly for a college FAFSA benefit, but if you're doing it for your own personal financial benefit, and it's going to have a benefit on the college front, make sure you're taking advantage of those things. Next, let's talk really quickly about the money talking points. The first one was, how is your scholarship applications going? Well, I hope they're going well for you. If you need scholarships or need help around scholarships, I'd recommend reaching out to Dave, the scholarship coach. You heard in this episode, he's been able to secure his son a full ride on scholarships. I think it's certainly worth the conversation if you have questions around scholarships. So check out the show notes and reach out to Dave if you have any questions when it comes to scholarships. The second money talking point is, will you be applying for the FAFSA? Well, I won't anymore because, of course, just as it gets shorter, my wife and I are done applying for the FAFSA because she won't need it anymore because it's her last year of school. But will you be applying for the FAFSA? Do you know someone who should be applying for the FAFSA? If you do, send them this episode. Have a conversation around it. Have a conversation around the changes that are coming. Do you think it's going to be easier, harder? Have that conversation. It's all about talking about money. But let's wrap up today's episode next. All right, buckle up. The FAFSA's getting a makeover. Some good, some not so good. But on the bright side, it's becoming a speedier process. But watch out for the student aid index, because you want to make sure you're adjusted in your vocabulary and be prepared for that change. Pell Grants continue to be awesome, so make sure you're applying for those. And don't forget about scholarships. Both are money that you don't have to repay, so you don't want to miss out on that opportunity. Now, the FAFSA might seem like a pesky form, but don't ghost it. Don't forget about the FAFSA. It's the key to the kingdom when it comes to getting financial aid and getting even more financial aid from your college, as they often look at the FAFSA for things like need-based aid and other types of money that you can get from the school. Some of the great knowledge that was shared in today's episode goes around the 529 plans, FAFSA, tuition, scholarships, all sorts of great things. So make sure you look into the FAFSA as well and have a conversation around it. Don't forget to check out Dave's free online course for the class of 2024 and Dan's course around financial aid and student loans. Of course, all of their information is linked in the show notes. But thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. As always, I appreciate each and every one of you for listening to today's episode and sharing with your friends. Whether you're going to college or you know someone going to college, consider sharing this episode with them. I know it'll be a great benefit to them or you, and it'll help save money down the road. And who doesn't love saving money? So be sure to check us out on YouTube as well for the video version and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to this on. Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.